Hello, and welcome to the Public Sector View Radio, where we discuss trends impacting the adoption of video collaboration solutions across government, education, and healthcare. I'm Ryan Traden, the executive editor of the Public Sector View Online publication, and joining me today is Quentin Kramer, the director of UC Consulting and Architecture at Strategic Products and Services, or SPS for short. Quentin is here today to discuss Skype for Business, which was previously known as Microsoft's Link. He's going to talk about why it's in demand across the federal government and what you need to know if you're looking to implement it. Quentin, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So Microsoft Link was recently rebranded as Skype for Business. What benefits and capabilities does it deliver to an agency and its workforce? And which of those capabilities and features do agencies seem most interested in?
Yep. One of the most important differences that we've seen is the integration with the Skype network. So for anyone who's in public service, and certainly those that are serving constituents directly, the ability to have them communicate via Skype to the Skype for Business at the agency is a big differentiator. And it gives them an opportunity to communicate with their contractors as well who might be using Skype. When it comes to the contact center and the ability for the constituents to be able to enter the contact center directly through Skype, or use video to communicate with an agency. And then when it comes to the ability to present, we have agencies that would have the ability to present content using their desktop, and they can share presentations so they can do training or constituent outreach or other types of messaging that will enable users to know more about what they're doing when they interact with the agency. When it comes to the actual workers within the agency, now they have the ability to really enable a secure telecommuting capability so that regardless of the device that the agency member is on, they can be working remotely from the field, working from home, whereas before they were forced to work within the agency's confines, the physical locations where they were.
Excellent. So in your conversations with government IT decision makers, which I assume you have pretty frequently, what are some of the reasons that you're hearing that they're excited about implementing Skype for Business? What problems does this help overcome for them, and why are they interested in it?
Well, to a certain extent, all of these capabilities that Skype for Business offers, voice, video, instant messaging, desktop sharing, and these conferencing abilities, were in separate silos before. And in many cases, they were managed by separate groups. They were purchased in separate purchasing cycles, so they all had their own life cycle. Now all of these different technologies and capabilities can be brought under one umbrella. So they're managed by one group. They're life cycled together. So there isn't this disjointed capability. You really actually have a unified technology as opposed to unified communications. We have a lot of savings associated with that from the standpoint of managing servers and the administrative costs, but also from the standpoint of infrastructure. So we don't have a lot of equipment out in branch locations anymore, and especially with the government agencies, we see a lot of smaller locations per region and per state. These offices were expensive to operate in the past. Now we can drive a lot of those costs down, especially where we had distributed trunks to provide local services for agencies that had a need to be in different geographies. Now we can centralize those trunks to SIP and save money there. And in particular, with hosted video and with interactions with video, we now have the ability for these agencies to take their rooms under control, where in the past they were in a managed service, or especially with hosted conferencing services like GoToMeeting and WebEx, where they're paying monthly recurring bills for desktop sharing services. Now they can bring all that in-house, save a lot of those monthly recurring bills, and provide really a higher level of service and functionality than what they had in the past.
Sounds like a lot of cost savings for the federal government, which I think our listeners and we both know is definitely in need at the moment. But let's flip the script a little bit. Let's look at the other side of that. So we talked about the benefits of a Skype for Business implementation. What about the challenges? If I'm a government agency and I'm interested in Skype for Business, I want to implement this, what do I need to know and what challenges might I face?
Right. So there's a vision of being able to service any user with any device, with any service at any time. And we want to deliver that. And it sounds great, but at the same time, wireless infrastructures are not always ready. Certainly from the standpoint of security, in many cases we have a higher level of security than we would find in a traditional enterprise, and for good reason. So we have to make sure that we're able to deliver these mobile clients in a way that meets the security requirements of the agencies that are trying to deploy them. We have, in many cases, a single point of connectivity to the Internet, in particular per agency, and that can be a challenge when it comes to delivering mobile voice and video because we're, you know, challenged with other traffic that's going through that link and contending for the bandwidth. So we have some good solutions to try to mitigate those challenges. Integrating with room systems that are in place, we, you know, in many cases we have room system with older codecs that are not necessarily designed or ready to participate in a newer SIP-based network. So we have to come up with some integration methods, and we do have them to integrate with legacy room systems. And then overall, the networks in particular, even the wired infrastructure or the WAN, are not necessarily ready for voice services or video services. In some cases, agencies haven't yet done any voice over IP, and so now we're coming with voice and video and content, and we have to make sure that the networks are ready for that sort of thing. Last but not least is really the ongoing management. When we look at this new world of a SIP-based communications and software-based MCUs, we have to be able to look at the big picture. And if a client's having problems or a user's having problems with video quality, how do we quickly isolate? Is it the network? Is it the user's workstation or device? Or is it something that's wrong with the server itself and be able to provide a quick resolution? And so making sure that the right tools are in place to be able to quickly see where the problem is and get the user back in shape.
Some of those technical challenges, some of the management challenges you talked about, those don't seem to me to be things that would be isolated only to federal government or state and local government agencies that are implementing the solution. That, to me, it sounds like something that any organization that has a large campus or multiple buildings within a large campus, you know, those organizations might have similar challenges. So off the top of my head, I'm thinking healthcare, I'm thinking organizations or education institutions and organizations. Are those challenges that you see across the board in other large campuses like that, healthcare, education, or is that pretty much just federal?
Well, you know, a unique characteristic that the three of those verticals have in common is the age of the buildings in which they operate. In other words, when you look at the D.C. infrastructure, you look at most universities and most hospitals, those are in buildings that were built long ago, and they were built to be durable. And that means thick walls and things that don't necessarily lend themselves to saturation with Wi-Fi. So we certainly want to say to a user that, here's your iPad or here's your Surface Pro, and we want you to be able to do video from anywhere that we have a physical location, and yet the locations themselves don't lend themselves to that behavior. So in particular, hospitals with all of the other radio frequency interference that goes on in the sorts of rooms that we have there, you know, wireless will always be the challenge. So mobile video and really getting to the device is the final frontier, so to speak. But beyond that, I think that the management infrastructure and the fact that each of these things, these technologies came out in their own time frame. You know, text messaging came when it was ready. Pagers came when they got invented. Cell phones came and evolved as they came. And so each of these things, the rooms got implemented when they were ready. They're not always under the same management, under the same anything. Collaboration is about working together as users, but it also tends to be about working together as an organization. So we look at the back of the organization and how can we break down the silos in support? How can we break down the silos in how we brought these things to market and really look at ourselves as a service provider so that we're delivering these things as a service to the users and trying to meet them at the level of their needs. In many cases, our engagements are about building bridges sometimes between bits of the organization that haven't necessarily worked together before. But this is the sort of project that brings together so many different parts of the organization when it comes to the network infrastructure and security and compliance and archiving and the visual communications portions plus voice. Facilities is often involved when it comes to outfitting rooms. So these are people that don't often sit at the same table. And bringing a project to flight and making sure that responsibilities are allocated across these teams and everyone understands what their role is, and then as it comes to the deployment and bringing it out to the users, that it's operationalized and orchestrated in a way that results in a successful outcome. You know, that we have achieved that which we meant to. If we're saving travel expenses or making people more productive on the road or helping people in different geographies work more closely together, how do we measure and really make sure that we achieve those goals?
That's a good point. I think we've talked a lot about the challenges, but, you know, obviously the benefits, I think, at least in my mind, well outweigh those. And, you know, there is also another component to this as well, which is that there are companies out there like SPS that do help with these integrations, help overcome some of those challenges. So, you know, how does working with an integrator like SPS, your company, help to overcome those challenges? What do you guys bring to the equation?
Well, I think one of the things that we bring is the ability to bring the experience that we've had with other customers to bear and the vision that many customers have. Skype for Business is a revolutionary product when you look at the way that it allows people to communicate together across boundaries that typically existed before. And that can be as simple as being able to do a video call between two people in different offices, but it also has to do with the way that two different companies interact or two different agencies within the government. So, for example, we're federated with many of our customers, and we have the ability to do voice video IM with those customers just as though they were SPS employees. And we have a vision of that being the same way for the federal government, in that we could federate these different agencies who have Skype for Business together in a private, secure way. They're collaborating like never before. And I think that as we bring that to market and as we're able to help customers see that vision in why they want to choose Skype for Business over some other projects and participate in that larger network of a collaborative government, I think that is a big piece of it. But to distill that down even further, it really is that we have seen a wide array of customers move in this direction. We have a large heritage with working with enterprises and large customers who have existing voice infrastructures. As they transitioned across towards VoIP and towards these unified communication technologies, we've helped them go from voice to voice plus IM to voice plus video and see these transitions happen. What we see in one customer typically happens 3 or 4 or 5 different times, so there's a volume there. And then where that has evolved to is looking at the process, not just the deployment of here's some infrastructure and it's installed and everything works, but how do we understand what the users need? Getting in front of the users and the experience of helping customers, our customers, which are the IT staffs, helping them to reach out to their users and say, how can we better serve you? What functionalities do you need as we move forward into this world of unified communications? And then marketing that back to them in the form of customer outreach efforts, template emails, internal marketing plans that go side by side with the training that we're going to roll out, so that it's not that we're just putting out these video rooms and they're intimidating and the users don't understand and they're afraid to touch anything because it might break. Instead, we're going to really embrace the users and make sure that they're using these things so that, again, it's the effective outcome. It really is the breadth of service there that goes beyond just the setup next of installing a particular piece of hardware.
Quentin, unfortunately, that's all the time that we have for today, but I do want to thank you for speaking with me here and for joining the program.
Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
A pleasure was all mine. For our listeners, we appreciate you joining us as well, and we'll be back with more episodes of the Public Sector View Radio in the coming weeks.